The Boyle Sports Basketball Beat is sponsored by Martin Vintage. Visit martinvintage.com for a great selection of classic Purdue t-shirts. Enter BOILED at checkout for 20% off your entire order. Martin Vintage.
All I'm saying is I had a sandwich, some macaroni and cheese, and some Angels envy, so I'm feeling fat and sassy. Hello and welcome to a vintage edition of the Purdue Basketball Beat.
Oh my goodness! Featuring
Michael, Anish, and Andy.
Yeah. Andy, it's glad to have you back, man.
Glad to have you back, bro.
Yeah. I think his mic is broken, so you might not be able to hear him on this, but he's here. You just need to trust the two of us. I don't know what you're talking about, vintage edition. We've been delivering podcasts every week. We've been delivering content every week. These old guys are just complaining nonstop.
Jeez. Yeah, well, they're getting older and slower.
That's right. But the oldest of the old guys, Dave, is actually the one picking up all the slack.
He's a bit of a machine.
Dave's a machine.
My favorite comment that we ever got on a podcast was there's an iTunes review of the Boiled Sports Podcast Network where they rave about Michael and Anish and say, well, they're a little better than the old guys. Old guys are fine.
Yeah, they're fine. I think I would classify them as fine. Did I write that review? I think they're fine.
You might have.
They're perfectly acceptable. C level, passing grade. It's fine.
I'm looking forward to the angry group text that we're going to get.
Oh yeah, that's fine. That's fine. We've been getting it over the last couple of weeks on the pod, on the few, unlike the two podcasts they recorded, to be fair. So like, let's be right. Dowd does his quick cast though. Those are very good. You guys should listen to the quick cast. This is our ad right at the top to say you should subscribe to the Boiled Sports Podcast Network and review. Leave us an entertaining review that we might remember on a podcast and not credit you, but still read. Just say
when we recall it back, we will get at least 20-25% of the words that you've used correctly.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's all you can really ask.
Here at Boiled Sports, we pride ourselves on our professionalism
and preparation.
In preparation. That's a comment we've gotten before.
These guys are entertaining, but wow, do they not prepare.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
You know, that's very fair, you know.
Y'all want to set up a Patreon for me and drop some money in there, and then maybe I'll put some notes together.
Oh, I used to do notes for some of the early days of the podcast. I used to have like this whole detailed outline and stuff that I wanted to talk about. Yeah. And now
we used to have like pre-meetings, like we'd chat a little bit before.
We had a Google Doc at one point, didn't we? A couple things. We had Google Docs going. We had links.
Guests. Remember tweets. When we had guests?
Osterman's wanted to come on to talk about IU, so I might have a quick hitter.
Love to have him on.
Osterman basically said, I have now covered a 500 Big Ten team, so let me tell you something about win. Let me do a podcast about winning at the end of the year. We gotta have Osterman on to talk about.
We have to, if nothing else, to acknowledge the beautiful bromance that the two of you have for each other on Twitter.
Listen, it's not just on Twitter. Let me just say that.
I'm sure it's not.
Yeah,
I'm sure
it's not. The distance is tough for us, though. The distance.
You know what, though? Like, when that bond is strong,
you can't do anything. You can't. It is what it is, though.
Am I jealous? Yeah, I'm jealous of both Osterman and you. I want both of you to myself, but
the distance would be even more difficult for you. Let's be honest. It would never work out between us.
That's really the reason why.
That's the reason. What beverage are you drinking right now? I know the answer to this because I'm on twitter.com, but what beverage are you drinking?
I am drinking some Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey.
Nice. Beautiful.
Angel's Envy.
Some Angel's Envy. Very nice.
It's not the rye. It's not the rye, which I've been preferring lately, but it is still.
No, it's lovely. It's lovely. So toast. I was drinking a nice Irish whiskey, a sherry finished Irish whiskey, which people tilt their nose to Irish whiskey, but you don't know. Try it.
Yeah, you don't know.
You got to try some stuff. man. Yeah,
you know, everyone should wake up in a ditch one day.
Yeah.
You know, just once in their life.
I'll be going to Ireland later this year. I went last year. I'll be going later this year again to a wedding. So that'll be fun.
Should we let like the State Department know?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll remember like 6% of it. I might not be allowed back in the country, but it's okay. I've got friends.
A friendly travel tip. Put aside maybe $5,000 into a bank account to bail your ass out of jail.
Yeah. That's what, I mean,
it's just the smart thing to do.
Yeah, but he knows, you know, it's for his wedding, and he knows this. You know, he understands the risks of inviting people like me. So it'll be all right. So this is the most unlikely championship, right? The most unlikely Big Ten championship that Purdue's ever won. Maybe I can't remember. Like, I was going through the last couple of years of the teams that shared the Big Ten title.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them were, you know, they're, you know, the usual suspects. They're all pretty stacked teams, or in Purdue's case, it usually is upperclassmen teams.
Yep.
This year's Purdue team we shouldn't have been here. We were barely talking about making the tournament, and we were talking about needing a Big Ten tournament run to qualify for the tournament back in early December.
Yep. I think after the Notre Dame game, the line on this team was, well, maybe they are sort of what we thought they were going to be in the preseason, maybe even a little bit worse. And maybe it's going to take an outstanding Big Ten season and, you know, a Big Ten tournament run to turn things around. And it just seemed unlikely.
You know, but the one thing that I always brought up in our group texts and stuff like that is that I wasn't turned off by what I saw, even like post the Charleston Classic, but before kind of the turnaround after Christmas break. The team was in good shape. I think the team, I liked what I saw out of them. They just weren't hitting shots. Carson was still playing okay. He was playing fine. Mm-hmm. It was just none of the role players were really stepping up, offensively at least. The defense was actually looking okay. And that was kind of what Painter teams, when they're in the doldrums, tend to do. They tend to lock down defensively. And Purdue, at least until the end of the Big Ten season, Purdue was one of the best defensive teams in the country. And that held true. Throughout the season, mm-hmm. but the offense didn't, you know, there was no secondary weapon until Trevion Williams came around, because Ryan Klein was in disarray. And then all of a sudden things turned around, right?
Yeah. And I think, you know, and we had talked about this too, although 6-5 was a disappointing start, there weren't bad losses as part of that 6-5 start. So the team was losing to teams that were at or maybe slightly above their level and beating everyone that they should have.
This, you know, Notre Dame and at Texas, so that back-to-back loss was tough. And then, you know, the other ones were kind of, I mean, the Michigan, you got creamed by Michigan, but at the beginning of the season, Michigan looked like a top four team and Purdue did not. You know, Florida State, Virginia Tech were tough, but I'd say, you know, Texas, Notre Dame back to back, that was tough to swallow. And the Notre Dame game was just not, you know, if you don't remember that one, if you didn't watch that one, it's not an 8-point loss. Like that was a bad one.
That was a bad one. And, that was the harbinger, right? That, like, we watched that game and thought, this is about as bad as this team is going to be, right? Like this is.
Yeah. So I remember a conversation with Dowd actually, where after the Notre Dame game, I was actually approaching it from he was higher on the team going into the year. And then by the time we got to the Notre Dame game, from what I remember, he was out, you know, he was out on the team, and a lot of people are, and that's what you should have done kind of rationally. The team showed you nothing. And so he was thinking, if Purdue plays like this during the non-conference and against a team like Notre Dame, which I thought Notre Dame was better than he was way on top of it, that said Notre Dame was a bad team. And they turned out to be a very bad team. If they can't play and wake up in Indianapolis against Notre Dame, what chance do they have against a deep Big Ten? Right. And my counter was, I thought Notre Dame was a little better, but I think that I thought that was the low point of the season. It couldn't get worse than that. I wasn't convinced that the Big Ten was as deep as everybody was saying in the offseason. I don't know if I'm right or not. I think it might be, kind of now looking at the end of the season, there are a couple good teams, but outside of the top three, I don't know. I'm not, anybody can lose to anybody, right? Thus is the tournament, but
sure.
I'm not sold on any of them.
I think even in the top three, there's some questions about what the ceilings for each of these teams are. And Michigan had an incredible start. And Michigan State is always thought of as a team that can make a deep run, primarily on coaching. But
Matthew's injury for Michigan kind of derailed the end of their season.
Yeah. And, both of those teams have winning records against quadrant run programs. And they're the only two in the Big Ten with that. So, I think that the Big Ten is deep in the sense that there's a lot of teams that are like legit on any given night, mm-hmm. but not necessarily a case where we're going to see, four or five teams in the Sweet 16 this year.
No, I think you're right. They'll probably get Big Ten and ACC will probably get, the most tournament berths, but I do think that there's a huge drop off after, after the top of everything, after the top of the entire tournament. I think Gonzaga, Virginia, Duke, and Duke without Zion, and who else got their center, center just got injured.
Yeah. I forget his name,
but they're looking shaky. So I don't even know if I can put them with North Carolina at the top there. And after that, I think it's a pretty steep drop off. Even Kentucky, they're not like those towns teams, right? They're a fine Kentucky one. If Purdue ended up in Kentucky's bracket as the two or the three, two, mm-hmm. but probably as the three, I wouldn't be upset at all. So I think the Big Ten this year is kind of reflective of college basketball as a whole, is that the middle is fine, but I don't, there's nobody really that stands out, which might mean, some chaos to come, but it might also mean that it's just Gonzaga, Virginia, North Carolina, and Duke in the Final Four.
Well, I misspoke earlier. Wisconsin also has a winning record against quadrant run
one. Yeah, but man.
But does anyone really trust Wisconsin?
Ethan Happ can go ahead and take his two footers. I'm not terribly scared.
And I think that's the point. I think there aren't a lot of teams in the Big Ten that are constructed well for deep tournament runs. It just feels like this is a year where the depth, the breadth of talent in the Big Ten sort of overwhelms individual depth within any of the teams. I don't know. I really feel like this is a year where anything can happen in the NCAA tournament.
So
that can break well for Purdue or not.
Yeah. I mean, so if you look at KenPom top 20, Michigan State is 4, Michigan is 6, Purdue is 10. Yeah. Wisconsin is 12. And then Maryland is sitting at 20, and then there's a pretty steep drop off to Penn State at 39, and then a whole bunch of them clustered right there. So the
interesting thing about a lot of the teams in the Big Ten is the relative strength of schedule amongst Wisconsin. Well, I think Wisconsin's in the 20s, but Maryland and Purdue are both in the top 15 in terms of strength of schedule. So, according to the numbers, they've played some tough teams.
Yeah, I mean, and Purdue has one of the toughest schedules in the country, and we knew that at the beginning of the season, but it was kind of hard to see the way out of it. We can transition to Painter. I mean, we should talk about Carson as well, and we'll get to the players, but what a job Painter's done, and you know, he was asked about it, you know, his fourth coach of the year at the end of the, I think the Northwestern game right after Purdue clinched the Big Ten championship. And he gave a very Brad Stevens answer, which was like, it's not about me. Like people who, people say like award great coaching, you know, that moniker because largely of what recruiting rankings say. And most often outside of the top 20 recruiting rank it like from 20 to 150, like who the hell knows? Like it's a crapshoot. Yeah. And so people are saying that Painter could be doing that. He said Painter's theory of the case was that people could be saying that I'm doing it with less talent, but I think these guys were way better than some of the guys in the top 50. Yeah. And that's whether or not that's true, whether or not he believes it, I like that kind of answer because it's real, you know, it's not kind of buying into your own, you know, successes too much as a coach. Like it's the players that do it. Now, four Big Ten coach of the years, that's nothing to sneeze at.
I think the recruiting stuff with Painter, when he brings it up, I think that's a sore spot of sorts because that's always been the knock against Painter. Like you're in a talent-rich state and you rarely get the top talent from that state. And that's something that he hears from fans, from media, from how other coaches recruit against him. So I think that is him sort of poking at something that's been used to poke against him. I think you're right, though, outside of the top can't-miss talent, it really is a crapshoot to see who's good. And a lot of that comes down to, and we talk about this a lot with the pros, but it's the same in college, but the fit between these players and the program. And one thing that Painter has learned over time, and he's talked about this, is it's just as important that he gets people that will play the type of game that he wants to play as it is that he gets the guy that's a little bit faster, shoots a little bit better, does whatever. And I think that maturity and how he approaches recruiting is how you can have a year like this following a year where you lose everybody last year.
You know, and that's the funny thing is that after those 2 years of, you know, after the 2013 and 2014, mm-hmm. When Painter got thin and Painter lost his ability to coach, this is my theory. I think sure, Painter needs to be fat to be a great coach. Yeah, it is what it is. Mm-hmm.
Be fat to be a good podcaster.
Fair enough. You've been running a lot though. That's the thing. You've been running. Yeah. I'm in dissertation shape. I am currently in the worst shape of my life. It's bad.
You know what? You look better than anyone I've ever seen go through a dissertation.
Hey, thanks, mostly man.
Because you're not actively crying right now.
Yeah, well, you know, it's right now I'm beyond the, you know, it's beyond anything. I'm leaving either way, either with a PhD or I'm going to master out. So who knows? either way, I'll be fine with it. I'm at peace. After the 2013-2014 recruiting debacles, it seems like the two things that he prioritized were culture and shooting. Mm-hmm. You know, the shooting part was a basketball X's and O's thing, right? Which was he knew that the style of basketball needed to be changed. Basketball needed the brand of Purdue basketball needed to evolve and get more perimeter heavy, get more 3-point heavy. Yeah. And Purdue needed to start to, you know, that you can't have too many shooters in a class, right? So you're going to have at least one great shooter per class. And then it's the fit. Like you said, it's, you know, and Caleb Swan, again, it's not going to matter if he was a great fit or not, but he ended up being a great fit and a great talent. And so, you know, the culture in the shooting is credit to him. And the fact that he could make sure that Notre Dame game, there was a backstop there. You know, there was, you know, he kind of called out the team there. It seemed like he talked to Carson. What part of it was he gave Trevion Williams more minutes, which kind of turned around the season. Actually, that Notre Dame game, the one bright spot was Trevion Williams. If you remember, he had a great game. Everybody else was really bad. And that was really unexpected for most of us. I think I don't know if many people were expecting Trevion to contribute at all, let alone to the level that he did and helping turn around the season. And then Klein kind of, as all of those adjustments were being made, Klein hit a stride, and Klein found his shot again. I think he went, what was that, 1 of 18 stretch or 0 of 18 stretch, and then reverted to the mean. What he ended, let's see, he still ended above 41-42% on the season. Yeah. So he had a hell of an end of the season, and that's what averages do sometimes. You know, he reverts to it. He's a great shooter, and so it's fine.
I think the Travion Williams point is good in terms of not only the contributions that Williams is making to the team, but also in terms of how Painter approached that situation. Because in previous years, Painter was not very willing to let young sort of raw players play through the challenges that they were having,
especially with fitness concerns, right?
Especially with fitness concerns. Like, one of the aggravating things about Painter in previous years is that he would rather play a much less talented walk-on than a player that is more talented that is struggling, right? Like the guys that he can trust. And so he didn't have enough time to build that level of trust in Travion Williams, but still like took that leap with him. And Travion paid it back by playing well, which also gave Purdue an advantage because Matt Harms was going through a slump. That interior presence wasn't there. Grady Iford wasn't quite playing as well as he's been playing lately. And Evan Boudreau has not really been the contributor that maybe some had hoped that he was. So the post game was not there. Once Travion started playing a little bit better, that opened things up for everybody else and gave someone like Ryan Klein like a little bit of space to do work.
That's the thing, is that Travion Williams stepping up changes the geometry, fundamentally changes the geometry of the floor, right? And the fact that Carson and Klein can shoot from damn near half court, it opens it up, right? Because otherwise you're going to have to, the people defending them can afford to play them tight and not worry about passing lanes.
Right.
All of a sudden, if Travion Williams is a real thing, you have to kind of shade towards that. All of a sudden you're giving, you're shading away from the corner, Ryan Klein can hit anything with that weird hitch in his shot, or you're going to sag off Carson to try to deny the entry pass and okay, go ahead. Deny the entry pass to Carson, and either he'll blow right past you for a dunk or he'll shoot a reckless, absolutely reckless three-pointer.
I have a theory that I want to run past you.
Let me hear it.
So I think that's true, and I think that the rest of the team starting to pick up a little bit has allowed Carson a little bit more space. And my theory is that given that he struggled pretty much the entire month of February and March, and I'm putting like struggle in a little bit of quotes here because, because he still got buckets, right? But he was not quite as efficient as he was early part of the season. My theory is that in allowing the defense to sag off of him just a little bit, that played into the defense's benefit in some circumstances because he was more willing to take low percentage shots given an opening.
So you're kind of baiting him into,
making like hasty decisions. And you talked about regressing to the mean earlier with Ryan Klein. I think Carson hit that a little bit.
That's fair. Too, yeah.
Because he was hitting some ridiculous shots early season. That's just not sustainable.
You know, it's been very off and on. So really the turning point was Nebraska. So Nebraska at the beginning of February, it looks like since then he's only hit better than 50% from the field three times out of like eight games, hit sub 30%, like four of them. So it's been very off and on, and it's actually been very half to half. Especially like take the most recent game against Northwestern. He wasn't great the first half, and all of a sudden the second half he kind of turned it on and put a little gap in between Northwestern. You know, Northwestern was kind of it was never comfortable. That game was never like comfortably in hand until like the final couple minutes, and sure. Carson's second half was great. I do think though a large part of that is fatigue catching up. It is early season. I know Painter doesn't believe in fatigue, but that's how it is, especially for a shooter. your legs get dead and it's you're going to get less accurate. You're going to try to start heaving things up with your hands instead of, you know, the full motion, right? You when anybody that plays that's played pickup, you know, the fifth pickup game, you know, back-to-back game of pickup you're playing, you're gassed. You're absolutely gassed and you're not going to shoot anymore. You're going to drive. You're going to take some stupid shots, or maybe you're going to settle because you don't have any gas to drive. And I do think a large part of that is what happened to Carson. Wow. That IU game was just bad.
Well, and then he followed up with the Nebraska game. So yeah. IU, he only hit 4 of his shots. He was 0 for 10 from.
Yeah, but I think there were a total of like 8 made field goals that game. So like,
I mean, that's true. That was like one of the worst basketball games that I've ever
Purdue had. Purdue didn't break what, 40, 50, and still managed to win somehow. I don't know.
So even if you put that in the box and light the box on fire, he still followed that up with the Nebraska game where he only hit 1 of 10. From 3, only hit 2 of 6 from the field. And when his 3-point attempts start to approach his 2-point attempts, you know that he's not being as patient and as aggressive in the way that he needs to be.
Yep. Right on.
Now, having said that, I think that we're grading on a curve with Carson
Edwards. Oh, I mean, like. let's just read the points, because we've been talking about efficiency here, but he's still getting points because he's still getting the free throw line and the volume is still there. So let me just read his point totals since that Maryland game: 24, 21, 9 and 13. Those are bad. 23, 25, 22, 21.
Yeah.
That is the stretch. That he two games that he failed to break 20 points. That's the stretch where he lost the player of the year race. Yeah. And the fact that he could still score, he could still break 20 points easily without playing very efficiently and still be a unanimous all Big Ten player is, you know, it goes to show you that he's a great player. Like,
and he'll still be an all American, right?
Oh, like, he's going to be all American, probably second team. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a borderline first team guy.
I think so too.
He'll probably be second team, but he'll be the first.
When do they vote? Do they vote before or after the conference draft? I think they've already probably submitted their votes, right?
If they haven't, then I think it's next week.
Yeah, I think they've already submitted their votes. I think I remember seeing Ostrom's ballot and Baird's ballot. They tweeted them out. So
I didn't know if Zach like shared that with you privately.
No, he put it in a messenger pigeon and like rolled it up like Game of Thrones style and sent it out. Baird too, though.
Do you have to rub that one in my face?
Yeah, too? Exactly. Baird said it was weird. Baird sent me a fax with, you know, it's his face. He faxed his face.
Did he fax you like a URL?
Yeah, exactly.
A web browser?
Yeah. Yeah. I think those have already gone in. So, yeah, if not, he's probably second team if I had to.
But even the first player to get back-to-back All-American honors since Glenn Robinson. First Purdue.
Did Etwan not do that his junior and senior year? Jawan, I know, is only his senior year. That is awesome. That's so good. Because those would be the only two between Robinson and now. Swanigan, his freshman year, he didn't, obviously.
No, he was honorable mention.
Okay. Because he had a great Etwan Moore, dude. Don't get me started. Etwan Moore is my favorite. Moore is my favorite Purdue basketball player of all time.
He's cashing them checks.
Yeah, and he's going to get one more. I think he's going to get one more nice contract.
I think he'll do fine. I agree. He's got one more, and then he can go do whatever he wants.
Yeah, not work. Ever. Make $100 million and go retire on an island somewhere.
Yes.
Exactly. Buy all of your family houses and go retire.
Great family, by the way.
Yeah. They were there for the bobblehead night. By the way, if any listener wants to send me an Etwan Moore bobblehead, hit me in the DMs and feel free to extort me.
If any listener wants to send me one first, I would appreciate that. I don't even know why I said that. No one's going to send me one before they send you one.
I get free stuff, man.
People I know you send get free me stuff.
I know you do. People just send me stuff. That's great. People love me.
That's great.
I'm not saying they don't love you.
It's because you need it the most.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, why aren't you drinking out of your bold sports glass? Why are you?
Are we going to talk about that? Are we going to talk about how it's broken?
We are going to have those available for purchase, right? I think we can tease that. We're going to have those available for purchase sometime between now and 2020. It'll be fine.
And so, I will have to purchase one.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We gotta break even here. What are you talking about? So let's hit some questions here. We can kind of alternate. Well,
can we hit one other thing first?
Yeah.
Is there any possibility in your mind that Painter would leave for another job?
So that was one of the, I think John Hulf on Twitter asks if the chances Painter leaves Purdue. So Matt Painter is currently the seventh highest paid coach in the Big Ten. And so these rumors about UCLA and Arizona, who might need a new coach, sniffing in the direction of Matt Painter and Matt Painter's lovely cologne and hair gel combination. Mm-hmm. That is an indicator. The fact that we know that is an indication that Matt Painter's agent knows that he is the seventh highest paid coach in the Big Ten, and he just won his fourth Big Ten coach of the year. By the way, only two coaches have more Big Ten coaches of the year.
And who are they?
Gene Cady and Bob Knight. Gene Cady with like seven, Bob Knight with five. Yep. Soon, it's going to be just Cady and Painter at the top of that list, which is insane.
It is insane.
But yeah, I think he... there's zero chance he leaves. Zero. I cannot, outside of some random celebrity paying Purdue to endow a building after them and getting some massive athletic scandal that gets Painter wrapped up in it. Like, what's her name? What's the lady's name from Full House? Anyway, Lori? No, that's her actual name.
No, shit.
That one. Yeah, her. outside of Painter being fired for some scandalous thing, which I can't see happening, there's no way that he leaves Purdue for another job. There's no other job.
I disagree.
What job that opens up will hire him? I think Louisville was actually the best shot.
Louisville?
I thought Louisville was the best combination of, they were looking for kind of a wholesome guy to take them out of the, you know, the Patino purgatory.
Sure.
And a guy that people can be pretty confident doesn't break the rules, but Purdue fans know that better than most, for better or for worse. And just like stability. Now, I think they had a great hire in Mac, and Mac was probably the right guy to make say no before they went on it. But I can't see any other program.
I'm starting at this from a different side than you are. I think you're looking at the programs that you think will have jobs available and trying to match whether they'd be a good fit for Painter. Sure. I'm going to come at this from Painter's point of view, which I don't know Matt Painter, so this is all an assumption. But here's the thing. You are getting close, if you're Matt Painter, to the point where you will just always be Purdue's coach, right? Yeah. After a while, people stopped calling Gene Cady, right? And that's going to happen to Painter at some point. And he's getting kind of close to that a little bit. The amount of money that is floating around is stupid.
Yeah.
It's literally stupid how much money you can make as a halfway decent college basketball head coach.
Halfway decent? I mean, like, okay, Chris Holtmann.
No, I'm saying like halfway decent coaches make a decent amount of money.
Chris Holtmann, very good coach. I can't deny he's had a very bad year, but Chris Holtmann, very good coach. He is the third highest paid coach nationally, the highest paid coach in the Big Ten. He makes $7.1 million. That's insane. Painter is at shy of 2.5.
So it to me, it's not insane to think that someone would offer him 5.5, 6.
And the I think that'd be crazy. Yeah. UCLA is cheap. Arizona. I don't know.
I think that is the level that it would take to pull him away from Purdue. And I just don't think that's outside the realm of possibility. I don't think it's a likelihood, but I don't think it's a 0% chance.
I think it's zero because I don't see any of those teams getting to the point on their list. I don't think Painter's at the top of any of their lists. I think Painter was probably very viably could have been the number two pick for Louisville. Whether or not they did the whole public thing, he probably would have been their second, third, or fourth call. I don't think he is that high on any other team's list that can pay a coach that kind of money, in excess of $4 and $5 million a year for a basketball coach.
My response to that is, let's see what jobs open this summer.
Yeah, I mean,
and then it only takes one. Right.
The
question is, if unnamed school A calls his agent and says 5.5, what do you say?
5.5 is a lot. And
he doesn't hang up that phone?
No, absolutely. He shouldn't. He'd be irresponsible to hang up. Yeah. I mean, like, he needs a pay rise. He needs to use whatever use whatever excitement and the coaching rumors he can, just like the Missouri gig. To get a pay raise because he is better than Mark Turgeon. You know, he is right now smack dab in between Mark Turgeon and Tim Miles in terms of salary.
How much do you give him? Do you give him 4?
For reference, Tom Izzo is at 4.4. Beeline is at something like 3.4. Archie is at 3.2. You go between Beeline and Archie. That's where you hope to end up. If you end up a little higher than Beeline and Izzo, you blame Ohio State for absolutely wrecking any kind of coaching market out there. Now, Ohio State kind of had to pay Chris Holtmann a stupid amount of money because they hired him in July. You know, people got to remember that. Like, you know, you have to pay the premium to get a coach to leave a really good job in the middle of July. And Ohio State can afford to do it. Ohio State has, you know, football money. But I would hope to end around 3.4. Okay. And I think that's probably fair. 3.4, even 3.5 would be fine. That would make him the second highest paid coach in the Big Ten. And I do think that he is one of the four best coaches in the Big Ten. You know, it's Beeline and Izzo and then everybody else. And I think in the everybody else category, depending on the year, I think Painter and Holtmann are the two best and they should be paid as such. And I don't think Babinski lets Painter go. That's the other thing, is that Purdue is no longer a cheap athletic department. It's no longer the athletic department where Matt Painter, Purdue alum Matt Painter, has to go to Missouri to get a pay rate, to get paid fairly, I think, you know. So I wouldn't be terribly worried. I'm not worried at all, actually.
I don't think that there's any cause for like immediate concern. I think the thing to keep in mind is that these salaries that go to college basketball coaches,
they couldn't go. There's nowhere else that money could go, Michael. What are you supposed to do with the money? I mean, like, what? That's it. You got to pay the coaches, right?
You have to. Anytime that you can pay a liter of men.
$5 million.
This is your reminder that college sports are largely a scam and you can eat the rich.
Questions.
I am. This is the conflict that I have. Something I love so much is such a terrible thing. Okay, questions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Welcome to football fans everywhere. Chris Harder, CJ Poppin, a frequent listener of the show. I think, one of the frequent contributors to the show. First question, would there even be a thought of Indiana going dancing?
Yes.
I think so. I think they're on the bubble. I think they're probably on the right side of the bubble. I think they're on the right side of the bubble too. And I think they got a good draw in the first. Oh no, they got Ohio State. So I think they'll probably beat Ohio State, lose to Michigan State in the Big Ten tournament. And
it's hard to beat the same team three times, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I think they're on the right side of the bubble. I think you're right. Any chance of Carson staying? There are a lot of questions about Carson as an NBA player. And third, what's the bourbon of choice for celebrating our Big Ten championship? I think the Angels Envy is a good choice.
It's a great choice, and I'm very happy with it. As far as Carson, I mean, there's always a chance. He's already used up his one free evaluation, right?
Yeah, it's very dumb. I hate that.
It's very stupid, and another reason why this collusion between college athletics and the pros is anti-American.
It's gonna come down. It's gonna come down. I think that part of it is not gonna last.
Hey, here's a lukewarm take. The eventual dismantling of the NCAA will be a boon for Purdue.
Oh yeah, I 100% agree, because Purdue is extremely well set up to be in an environment where players aren't getting paid legally or illegally, and where the highest level talent, the top 50 talent, goes to goes to the D League or goes elsewhere.
Sorry, it's the G League now.
The G League. You are right. I am dying. If a G League team comes to Pittsburgh, I will be the consumer number one for a season ticket. So G League, please come too. Please come.
Yeah, you're going to be like that adult in like the jersey.
Yeah.
With or without the t-shirt underneath.
Yeah. Depending on the weather.
Depending on the weather. Yelling way too loud.
That's right.
And getting cursed at by the G League version of Russell Westbrook.
That's right. That's right. Hey, I don't cross those lines. So right now, Jonathan Givody has Carson Edwards in his top 50 and going to Orlando, which actually would be kind of fun. Orlando needs a point guard, and they have a bunch of length, and so that would be fun. I would enjoy what's his name, Bruno Fernando, ending up on the same basketball team as Carson Edwards, because I want them to run pick and rolls. I think they are perfect for each other.
How many pages of fanfic of these two together have you written?
Bruno Fernando is going to be a good NBA player, and he's going to slip to like the latter part of the first round or the beginning of the second round, and he will be a good rotation player. It's not going to make sense. Carson, it's the Carson NBA question is interesting, because my logic for the AJ Ham saying, telling AJ Hammonds, like when it was his time, first I thought that Purdue was going nowhere during that era. It was bad. So I thought he should just leave and get it done with. I thought AJ Hammonds was going to be, by the end of his junior year, as good as he was going to be at the end of his senior year. And so he should have capitalized on an extra year of earnings, or starting kind of the clock on his NBA contract a little earlier. And playing for money is better than playing for free. Mm-hmm. That being said, the counter is also pretty easily arguable. If he's not going to gain any stock and he's not going to lose any stock, you might as well stay, because being a college athlete at a place like Purdue is pretty fun.
There's worse things in
the world. Objectively, like, there are things that are bad about college sports, but one thing that it's not is that it's very fun. Like, it's fun to be the king of the campus. It's fun to be the star of a top 25 team. It's fun to be on national television all the time. Like, it's a really, and if you're Carson, it's going to be fun to be in the National Player of the Year for the second year in a row, probably be, do three straight years of All-American status. I mean, like, that unheard of at Purdue.
That's cementing your status as a legend.
Oh yeah,
at your university. But all of these things are things that I think fans care about a lot more than the players themselves.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that Carson doesn't love Purdue or doesn't love being a part of Purdue lore, but it's we have the benefit of our livelihood not being at stake.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, Carson Edwards is listed at 6'1". Carson Edwards is like 5'10".
Dude, he's like 5'10 and a half. Like
he's thick. He's a thick 5'10". He's a bigger 5'10 than most.
Yeah,
he's a bigger 5'10 than most 6'3 players in the NBA. He's got an NBA body, but the problem is that if he loses that athleticism to like a torn hamstring, you know, or whatever Victor Oladipo had, like that's it. That's his NBA career. It's over. Mm-hmm. And
go make your money, son.
You know, and that the thing is, like the guaranteed money between the first and second round doesn't really exist anymore. Second round picks are one of the most valuable assets that NBA teams can have, and they really value, they use them like that. They use them as extremely valuable assets, and they play those players and they invest in those players. And so if Carson can go in the top 40, the top 50, get picked, even if he doesn't get picked, he's going to end up on a roster. I don't know if I couldn't see him not getting picked. He could kind of slip past everyone, but he's not ending up a free agent by the end of it. He's going to be, you know, there's some team that's going to hop after him. So the fact is his status as an NBA player is so tenuous as it is because of his height, frankly. Yeah.
And his volume, yeah. Right? I think he's not going to be able to shoot the ball 25 times in the pros.
You know, and so the other part of it is that there are parts of his game that have to improve: decision-making and distributing, to being the lead point guard. If you remember, he's not Steph Curry, but if you remember the difference between Steph's sophomore and junior year at Davidson, where he went from being a shooting guard to being a point guard the entire, like kind of forcing himself to be the point, where the Davidson coach,
he knew that's where he was going to wind up in the pros.
He knew that that's what he was going to be. And so that's, you know, if you were going to make the argument, which Matt Painter is not, like he'll give him the facts and he'll probably tell him to go, because he's a good coach. I think he, you know, I think there are those type of decision-making things, point guard things that he has to make, but there are the progress that he can make, but I wouldn't risk it. We've got Big Ten tournament stuff. We can talk about that right at the end. What are the sentiments? So here is Kevski 20 asks, what will sentiments toward Matt Painter be if Purdue fails to reach beyond the Sweet 16? Does the Big Ten Coach of the Year give him breathing room amongst the haters?
No, of course not.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing is that Painter has been around long enough. Like, it's an old relationship now. Like, we understand each other very well. That's he doesn't pick the towel up off the bathroom floor. Yep. You know what I mean? He eats the last of the chips and doesn't say anything, right? That's just where we are. And nothing is going to change that.
No.
And I think that
he's about the 23rd best coach in the country, and Purdue is about the 23rd best job in the country.
I think in order for me to say that Matt Painter is a coach capable of taking a team to the Final Four, I need to see it.
Got to see it.
Because I think there's been a body of work enough to say that he is not that guy.
You know, it would be funny, though, is that if objectively his – you know, if you take out 2013 and 2014, this is objectively his least talented team outside of like the Landry team, his first year. And it would be pretty funny if this is the team that ends up breaking through.
Hey, I love it. The thing, the way in which I've evolved as a fan is, like I said, I don't think he's a Final Four caliber coach. I've still had a wonderful time watching this team play.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been a lot of fun. And I've enjoyed that. And March to me is the only thing that matters in terms of the legacy of the season, the legacy of the coach and all of that. But it's been fun watching them win. And I've got my entertainment out of it.
The thing is, if you don't end up with March, you want to end up with things like Big Ten championships. You want to end up with things like memorable players, memorable seasons. And, you know, if it can be one or the other, I'm sure that most people would rather pick the Big Ten or the March Madness tournament. But the fact that Matt Painter delivers memorable full seasons of basketball kind of effortlessly is a real thing.
I think the Big Ten tournament and the regular season don't matter to me as much as how much I've enjoyed watching the players.
Yeah, fair.
Like, well, in 5 years, we'll talk about Carson.
In 5 years, we'll talk about Ray Davis, and he didn't win a single March Madness game. Yeah.
We need to find someone who knows him so that we can have him on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. I'd love it. Future Purdue coach, Ray Davis.
I think it's part of this is just enjoying that part of the journey. And then we can all complain when Painter loses in the round of 32 again.
Yeah, it's a bonding experience. It's the friends along the way that really matter. Quick hitter, who's your favorite freshman this year? From Unlawful Badger.
Does redshirt freshman count?
Yeah.
I don't know. You go first.
I mean, so the obvious answer is Trevion Williams, because he helped turn around the season. But my favorite freshman is somebody that I'm going to enjoy a lot when he's starting next year. Sasha Stefanovic.
You've been building him up a lot. Like, you've been talking about him a lot on the group chat. Like, this is not quite a Vince Edwards.
No, it's crazy. I have a type.
You're making the hard eyes at him a little bit.
I have a type, and Sasha Stefanovic is not that type, but I think I'm falling. Fine. Oh, listen, sometimes you got to take a little bit of an adventure.
So mine is Aaron Wheeler.
Wheeler's and dope. Yeah.
The reason why is that he is totally my type,
yeah.
which is
Basil Smotherman.
Yeah, oh yeah. Basil Smotherman, Jacob Lawson. Like, all of these are guys that I have regrettably hyped at some point, but I have a better feeling about Aaron Wheeler. Hyper athletic, super long, lots of raw talent.
Yeah.
He's a lottery. He's a lottery card, right? Like a lottery.
Oh, ticket. Yeah. I mean, his athleticism, you hope that it pays off. I think Basil Smotherman was a great risk to take, if it was a risk at all, you know? And so, yeah, if it ends up working out, that's a great player to have. Let's see. Do we have other ones that we want to address? PU Fall City is our good friend. Where have you been? Because we're all tired of the JV squad. Well, you know.
Well, I wouldn't call them the JV squad, but clearly our listeners think of them.
Are they the freshman squad? Is that what they are? Do any Big Ten teams make the Final Four?
No,
I don't. I thought Michigan might have had a chance earlier, and the end of the season, I don't think so. If you could suit up one senior from last year for the tournament, who would it be? I have had a consistent answer all year.
Mine is Vincent.
Mine is unexpectedly not. Absolutely not. It's Dakota Mathias.
Listen, first of all, I don't think you can go wrong. Let me just put that.
Put any of them on the team.
Any of them out there, you're fine.
Yeah, you're great.
Dakota.
Dakota Mathias gives you the second shooter off of Carson. Dakota Mathias gives you another ball handler, and because a good defender, not to the level of Nogel, but I don't know if Purdue has seen a wing defender like Nogel Eastern. And I'm definitely counting Chris Kramer in that.
And Ray Davis.
I think that Nogel is better than both of them.
Okay, next podcast episode.
I think Newbert agrees too. I mean, like, Listen,
they'll be throwing your third BFF in there.
I'm telling you, Noobs is no. The old guys and Noobs have a thing. They're vibing real hard. I think Dakota Mathias, the fact that there is another ball handler and another shooter, he would be a perfect fit for this team, man.
I think time like blunts the edges when it comes to the memory of Vincent Edwards, but having like that dynamic in-betweener,
awesome. Yeah,
you know, that's a thing.
Oh,
that's
yeah. I mean, and the argument for Vince is that the four has been awful this year. It's kind of been the spot where Purdue has lacked the most point guard. The fascinating partnership between Nogel and Carson is something that no other team in the country has. So I'm okay without another ball handler. You know, this is kind of why maybe the Vince answer is the right one, because you know, as you were, you know, we don't want to bring up individual players that have been bad this year, but like the four has been a problem spot. And
been Vince, a problem. I'll say that Grady Eifert has played.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah.
In recent games, he's really come through.
And not even recent game, post December, like pre-December, he was bad, but the fact that Painter stuck with him means that he showed something on in practice and it paid out just like Trevion. I mean, Grady was his senior year. This is kind of his legacy and he's a walk-on. That's awesome. That's very cool.
Big fan of Grady.
Very cool. Last couple ones. What team? Oh, this is an interesting one, which I might need to look it up. Scruffy P asks, what team already a lock in the tourney is perfect boiler kryptonite?
Ooh. Outside the conference, I'm assuming.
I figure outside the conference, Tennessee is always, I mean, they're just hyper athletic. Florida State. Actually, yeah. I knew Purdue played Florida State and played them close. But teams like that generally give Purdue problems.
Let's talk about the characteristics of a team that gives this Purdue team problem. I'm going to say teams that are long and athletic.
Well, and somehow Purdue brings out the best three-point shooting in the opposition, right? I mean, like, I don't know why. The eye test tells me that they close out okay. They stick with their man okay. Sometimes rotations get off.
But it's not the guards that go off against Purdue. It's always the three that shoots like 32% from three who goes off. So that tells me that's a gap on the defense.
That's fair. Texas Tech, I think. Just because.
I really don't want to play Texas Tech.
I don't want to play Chris Beard. If UCLA ends up hiring Chris Beard, I don't want to play UCLA. I'm good with my lifetime of Chris Beard.
Yeah,
we've done. Had enough. National Coach of the Year stole it away from Matt Painter. Chris Beard is always the answer. Before we go into our final predictions for the tourney, there was an interesting one. There's this one. If Carson leaves, what are some possibilities in the grad JUCO market? Sure. Or a late high school signee? Michael, there's, you want to take this away?
Flannery O'Connor.
Oh, I love Flannery O'Connor.
From Sioux Falls. having a great year. there's also Eduardo.
Will he just wear Eduardo South American?
Like if you remember the XFL, right? You can have your own name. His is just Ed squared.
Ed
with like Ed. A tiny two up top.
Yeah.
Really just a ball dominant power forward, like in the Anthony Mason style, you know, he's like a big wide dude. He is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, those that's right too.
Here, yeah. Rumor, that Matt Painter hitting some previously like undiscovered markets overseas. A really hard.
If he for real brings over an Indian superstar,
you're totally like stomping on my thing here. But the rumor has it that Matt Painter has been spotted in India.
Listen, if Purdue bring, I already have an Excel spreadsheet which lists all of the half Indians that are playing college basketball. There are no actual full out now. There are very few Indians actually playing, but usually. One parent is Indian and that is enough for me. So if Purdue ends up with one of them, all of a sudden.
Well, I mean, he's trying. He's trying. He's spending a lot of time in Croatia.
It's a great
Galapagos Islands have a lot of talent.
I want to go to the Galapagos Islands. I want to visit there. Yeah, me too. That'd be cool.
The Komodo Islands in Thailand. I mean, really, like we're talking.
Are you sure he's not just vacationing?
He might be vacationing. He just got married, so maybe this was like a
honeymoon like an Indian type
Ocean
thing.
Tour.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that before. I need to go back and check my sources.
Check the sources. No, here's the thing.
I don't know. I don't have a single name for you.
Yeah,
I don't have a single name.
Next year's recruiting class is Newman, Gillis, and Thompson, and that is a fun class. That is a really class.
I'm just gonna say, like, if you want that level of information. Like, I hope we've entertained you because we're not going to provide that. Just get a GBI subscription.
Just pay the $90 and get the
GBI. And then email Brian and tell him that we told you to do that, and that's what spurred you to do that, so that he starts returning my phone calls.
And then transitioning, we'll use Ruta_Chris to transition to the Big Ten tournament. Which team not in the top three seeds is most likely to make it to Sunday?
All right, I'm going to go a little way off the reservation here.
Oh, boy.
Why not? Penn State.
I don't disagree. So Purdue got the winner of – Purdue plays on Friday, 6 p.m., the winner of Minnesota and Penn State. I don't like either of them.
I don't really want to play them.
I don't want to play either. Not that I'm scared of them, but I don't want to play either of them. Purdue already crapped the bed against Minnesota earlier this year, and I thought Minnesota wasn't a great team, and I don't think Pitino's a great coach. And maybe it was the emotion.
Three seven-year-olds standing on top of each other.
In trench coats. Yeah.
Actually, you know, honestly, it's really two, right? Like, if we're being honest.
Let's be right. Lamar Stevens is really good. And Penn State has some talent. But the problem is that their coach might be three toddlers in a trench coat also.
That's the special consultant to the head coach.
Yeah, I would like to see Tim Miles win it because I like Tim Miles as a person. And I would like to see him at Nebraska. Yeah, he's not very it's not very good. It's not going well, but
no. I think Nebraska is kind of a weird one, but yeah, I'd have to
go. No, it's I think Penn State legitimately kind of, if you're looking at, I don't know what odds Penn State are, but you've got to have, I think Justin actually shared those with me, and Penn State was on his short list of let's say of 12 teams in the Big Ten that he really liked. So maybe online gambling for me and Justin isn't the best thing to make available.
Oh, no.
And you know, on the flip side, let me put a question to you. Which team of the top three is least likely to make the Big Ten championship game?
Oh man, why do you gotta do me like this?
I know. It's gotta be because in the answer Purdue.
Yeah, the answer is Purdue.
And I don't.
Here's another thing. I don't care. Yeah. Like if Purdue loses on Friday, like I will not shed a single tear.
It'll be disappointing, and we hope that they'll be able to. The one thing you don't want to let it do is take the slide between three, which is where I think both, the three seed is where, Jerry Palm has Purdue. Let me take a quick. I know it's where Lenardi has Purdue, and yeah. Palm has Purdue at a 3-2. You don't want the three to slide to a four. The three is actually, the three is the best spot to be in the tournament. I love that the road to the Sweet 16 is very friendly.
I don't think they're going to slip, by the way, to be honest. I think that they're solidly a three, even if they lose to Penn State or Minnesota on Friday.
Yeah, I'm not.
I don't care. Like they can lose, and I have no emotional attachment to the Big Ten tournament.
It would be cool in years where Purdue isn't in the top three of the Big Ten, and you know all that. But Matt Painter just finishes in the top 10 of the Big Ten and finishes in the Sweet 16, and that's Matt Painter. So
sets in the West.
That's right. Now I said. I would like to say that I went on record recently, as recently as 10 seconds ago, saying that the three spot is the best spot to be. Yeah. Do you know where Jerry Palm has the road to the Sweet 16? It is through number 6, Villanova. So, no.
No.
I don't want that.
Thank you. I hate it.
Oh, that's where friggin' Lenardi has us too. This sucks, man. This is bad.
No, that's good because the easiest job in the world is to be someone who predicts the bracket.
Yeah, not the one who
they get the teams right, but they never get the matchups, so that's fine.
I would hope to not get the Nova 6. Nova and Nevada are the 6 seeds. Nova, Nevada, and Buffalo. So that'll be fun. That'll be fun. But predictions for the Big Ten tournament.
Purdue wins on Friday, loses on Saturday.
Wins a close one against who?
Penn State.
I think so too. I think I agree. Penn State, Purdue wins a close one against Penn State. and then loses to probably Michigan. Man, Michigan and Michigan State got easy roads. Even at Wisconsin got Maryland, but Michigan State gets the winner of Indiana, Ohio State. Get out of here.
I don't know. I think Indiana might be not too bad anymore.
I think they peaked too late, and I don't trust them. That's the game. I also don't think Archie has shown much. So
Archie's not a great coach, but I think Robert Phinisee completely changes the complexion of that team.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, like, that was the worry this year, you know, that you picked them, I think, as kind of a dark horse in the Big Ten. Yeah. Like, and it wasn't a bad pick. Like, they're if you're not going to pick one of the Michigan teams, like, Indiana was an interesting pick. I wonder what the odds were for Purdue in the preseason to win the Big Ten.
I don't know.
Must have been pretty good. Anyway, yeah. So I think I agree. Win Friday, lose Saturday, and Carson gets a few extra days of rest.
How far do they get in the NCAA tournament?
That is for next week's podcast on the Bullet Sports Podcast Network, brought to you by Martin Vintage, martinvintage.com, where you can enter the code BOILED. How do you spell that, Michael?
BOILED.
At checkout. And you can get 20% off. That is 20%. That is one free t-shirt if you buy five.
And I will say, and this is real, I've got a Purdue basketball and a Purdue football Martin Vintage shirt in regular rotation at least once a week.
I've been meaning to, I think, you know what? I think I'll do it tonight as a gift to myself. Happy birthday, self. Your birthday is not until July, but that's fine. It's
a long way from now. That's fine.
I want they have the state of Indiana with the Indianapolis, the stars, like the Indianapolis kind of logo.
Yeah.
And I very much want that. Or the Indiana. I mean, the Indiana, not Indianapolis, the torch and stars. Yeah, I very much want that in black and gold. That is a slick design. And I think that's what I'm going to buy myself tonight.
You should. You deserve it.
Thanks, man.
Yeah,
it really means a lot. So I think that's it. Thanks for all the questions. Thanks for, thanks for listening to our podcast every single week. Mm-hmm. We delivered it. It was tough. It was tough to record every week, but we did it.
We did it. The important thing is that this is definitely not my first podcast in about 6 months.
Yeah. So listen,
or a podcast that I helped found. That's fine.
Good thing that the internet doesn't keep track of things.
No, that's true.
Yeah. There are no receipts. So anyway, nice talking to you. And we'll see you next week. We'll see you after Purdue either loses in the first round or wins the Big Ten tournament.
Boiler up.